This is a Crib Room podcast.
Bringing you industry news, views, and happenings.
The Crib Room podcast today brought inside, and as we start speaking with Warren Poovanendran today from Potama, we have got a little bit of rain and a little bit of wind. I apologise because normally we're on a nice little idyllic balcony on Hannon Street overlooking the main street, but we've brought you inside today.
Quite disappointed with that, mate. That's what jumpers and jackets are made for.
Well, we had a couple of podcasts a few weeks ago on during Diggers and Dealers, and the wind came from absolutely nowhere. Anyway, I digress. We're here to talk to you today about your business. Now, you have got a solution for many people. It's bespoke when it comes to engineering and project management, which we'll get to very, very soon. But first of all, I go back about 20-odd years ago, and I was haranguing you for a job at the radio station. Might have been late one Saturday night walking up and down Hannon Street, somewhere between Judd's and DeBenali's or something like that. I said, Anita, we'll get a job with you at the radio station, mate. So I credit you half a little bit.
I made it happen.
You did make it happen. You said, stop pestering me and go and call the radio station. In one way, that happened, mate. But it's good to connect back with you, mate. We worked together a long time ago, 20 years ago, handing out icy cold cans of Coke and Masters milks and ice bread and, bread and all that sort of stuff. But now you've gone in a big full circle. You're familiar to a lot of people here in Kalgoorlie-Boulder. Further to that, though, you went on with a bit of a media career for a little while, but then that turned for us, and that had something to do with, obviously, your background. Tell us a little bit about some of that that skills that you've acquired, because you've got a couple of masters. Is that right?
One. Yeah. But look, I think, yeah, you're right. It's 20-odd years since, you know, you and I first met in you know, those fond memories from back then. And the skill set that I learned, you know, throughout the goldfields and working at the radio station and so on. So, yeah, so I moved on from Kalgoorlie probably, I don't know, well, would be, I think, probably 20 years ago. And then from there, sort of my career evolved from working in the media industry here in Cal, in the Wheat Belt, and also in Melbourne, and then coming back to Perth and sort of deciding to use some of the skill set that I went through or that I gained through uni. So I've, you know, I got a science degree, got a master's degree in business as well. So I decided that, you know, I wanted to get into the mining industry, doing something a bit more technical. And it sounds a bit derogatory. It's not. It's just wanting to apply my skill set to further my career and develop into something that I suppose that could take me and a bit further in my career. So I sort of stepped into doing some technical sales roles, some technical commercial roles, ventured through a few different industries, you know, the pumping industry, the sort of the radar monitoring industry, the aviation FIFO industry. And then landed at a company called Oz Group some 6-7 years ago as a GM operations. Oz Group is a construction and maintenance company for the oil and gas and mining industry, and sort of cut my teeth in developing and honing my skills into what I do these days.
Before we get to Potama, I just want to go back on a couple of those points. And I know that when you're involved in looking at radar in particular, it's a pretty amazing the technology that we've got now to be safe in the industry, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good story. The company I worked for is called GroundProbe. They're still around. They're owned by Orica at the moment. Pretty good story that, you know, four guys doing their PhDs in, I think, the University of Queensland. You know, they came up with this concept of using radar systems to monitor, movement in open pit walls, and developed that into something that became a staple in the safety application of open pit mining. And it's a great story, and they're still going strong. They're all over the world. You go to any open pit mine in around the world, and you'll see a GroundProbe radar. And it's, like I said, it's a great innovation, it's a great story, and I'm so happy for them that they're sort of continuing, companies like Orica saw value in what they did and what they're currently doing and brought them into the mold, it's a good story.
Then from that aviation as well, and I know that you worked for a company based out of, well, that's got a base in Perth at least, but now as a quite ironic that you've gone the other way from being trying to get those aircraft into regional areas to now jump on those aircraft to get to those regional areas.
Yeah, look, I think I consider myself to be an enthusiast of the mining sector, right? I think there's many different facets to the mining industry, and many different services, many different impacts people can have in the industry, and what I try to do is sort of learn and gain as much knowledge from different aspects of the industry, so that it allows me to be, I suppose, more valuable in terms of the input I can have into the industry. And you're right, going from putting people on planes to being on planes, you get to understand the challenges of getting on planes, why people miss planes, why, the struggles of getting a workforce, especially for shutdowns and bits and pieces, to a remote airport, right? So they're the sort of things, skill sets and things that you learn as you go throughout throughout your career. So
you got a taste back into it with Ausgroup and to get out into the regions. Just before we talk about your own business, what was your role at Ausgroup?
Sort of evolved from being the pre-contracts manager through to the general manager operations. I had a pretty diverse role. I also looked after our Southeast Asian operations. I was a director of our businesses in Singapore, Malaysia and Thailand. I was also director of our port and marine business. I looked after the strategy and development for the group. So I was GM operations as such, but I had the front end work of the business, all the pre-contracts function, the business development, the marketing, the communication, and then an operational function as well. So quite diverse. And again, I suppose to reiterate, that my sort of upbringing, my sort of background in many different industries allowed me to be able to do that role, because my mindset and my skill set wasn't specifically narrow
And quite broad.
Yeah,
which comes to Pitama. Now, yep. This is a company that you've created yourself. Tell us a little bit about the name Pitama first of all.
Yeah, well, Pitama is it's Malaysian. And it means number one. Being Malaysian, I come from Malaysia, I was born in Malaysia. We came here when I was 11 years old, and hence why I sound like this. But, I still go back to Malaysia every year. I still remember my heritage, where I come from. I still have a lot of family there. So I always wanted to do something that sort of paid some homage and respect to my heritage. Mm-hmm. So when I sort of left Ausgroup in December last year, I decided, I wanted to start a business. And to be truthful, I couldn't think of anything worse than going back into corporate. And so I'd always tossed around with the idea of starting a business. And I got to a stage where I sort of took the plunge. I had to. Well, I didn't have to, but I decided that now was the time. I didn't want to get to 50 years old and regret not doing it, right? So I'd rather fail now than then not have tried at all. So that was my philosophy. So I started up Pitama. Pitama is a bespoke engineering and project management company. And again, leveraging what I learned from my time at Ausgroup and throughout my career, the business I created is specifically aimed at a niche in the market, at a sector which I think there are gaps in terms of service providers. And that's where I've aimed my business. I'm quite clear and quite, understanding of where I play, where where my services fit and where Pitama sits in terms of the value chain.
And from you yourself as a role of general manager of the business, you've got a project manager and two principal engineers, one of electrical and one of structural and civil. This allows you the flexibility and the know-how to go into scoping projects, and also having that really good background, not only just from yourself, but also the experience from your team.
Yeah, that's true, right? And as we talked about earlier, for me, the services that I'm providing are, I suppose, the core and sort of highly utilized services in the mining sector. Structural, mechanical, electrical, civils, they're the sort of the bedrock of what mining industry is built on, right? And they're the sort of services that I thought when I started I'd offer. And I get that there's a lot of other there's engineers out there that are specialized in certain sectors. What I intended to do was bring that into Potama as a holistic service. If you look at you know, what you got in front of you, then for me, it's all about being the single point accountability as a business, right? I want to be able to offer a service where, and this is where the gaps, I think, from my experience, is that when you're dealing with a client, what they like is to have one person answer, right? One person that they can come to and go, you know, something's gone wrong, can you fix it? Mm. And that's I suppose, the premise of having those skill sets brought into the business.
Project and maintenance solutions, you're normally that first step, aren't you? You're part of scoping, you're part of that, almost that first, that first part of getting a project up and about before handover. Is your phase really concentrated on studying in out the projects and making sure that the actual project is viable, or have the clients already got to that point to know that it's viable?
No. There's two elements to that. There is a element where the project is already viable and this is just an extension of the study phase. There's also an element where you are proving out the viability of projects. So the intent with the study phase and the intent with the doing the front end work of the business is to support the likes of the big EPCs and provide bespoke services in specialized scopes to support their study. Not to do the overall study, it's to support their study. So, you know, for example, in a current couple of projects that I'm doing now, you know, I'm doing the non-process infrastructure, the accommodation village, and doing the study phases of that, taking a concept or taking a project from concept through to a percentage of design, I suppose, and also proving out, providing a high level schedule and cost estimates.
And at each particular phase, because obviously there's a lot of businesses out there who are our targets who are listening to this particular podcast as well, and they may only be interested in being part of the procurement stage or part of the construction stage. Just tell us how they all link up, because if you're going through the EPC and even the M part of it, which is management, there's different steps at different times that you're going to have touch points with plenty of different providers out there as well. So just step us through, if you can. I know that obviously we're limited for time. We'd like to keep the crib room under. Yeah, I know you can talk, but we like to keep it under a certain amount of time. But just step it out for us from that EPC and M phase.
Yeah, look, I think that's a very good point to raise, right? And again, leveraging the experience that I've had, coming from that industry, what I notice is that as you go through a phase from bidding work or sort of doing the engineering work through to execution, you're dealing with two different teams. And generally, the accountability or the KPIs are different from your pre-contracts to or post-contract, right? So what happens is, you know, you're dealing with a procurement person who, you know, they're generally driven by getting the lowest price and meeting their KPIs in terms of contracts. What they do is they, you know, once they're done, they throw it over the fence to operations, and operations pick it up. Operations go, right, you know, this is not something I can work with. And then you start adding, you start adding to the process, you start adding to cost and so on. And that's where we find that project costs, schedule, you know, they tend to blow out. What I'm doing is offering that entirety of process, is going, well, I'll do the engineering for you and then take it through procurement. And then if you want me to do that, I can go into the construction element and then the handover element. And that's, I suppose, the value chain that I'm trying to create and trying to sort of break the mold of you know, it just being two separate departments that are not joined together as such.
Well, let's talk about some of the clients that you work with. And are they're some of them are big names in the mining industry, let's be honest. But at the same time, they've got many different projects that are happening at their sites all at once. There could be, you know, a pending shutdown that's coming up for their treatment plant. There could be some more that's happening around some of their accommodation, et cetera, right? Is it the case that some of your clients are that busy that having you come in with the almost a turnkey solution for them when it comes to EPC, that they are like, oh, thank you. It's like that episode of the TV show. Thank God you're here.
I've yet to have a client that thanks me, but anyway.
Okay. But it's that point, like, that you've just come in, almost like a breath of fresh air for them when they're concentrating on so many different projects.
Absolutely. And that is exactly where the business is targeted at, right? What I offer is flexibility. What I offer is an alternative. And what I offer is a supplementary service to the operations team or the procurement team or the engineering team as such. So my services are specifically sort of designed to support that, to add value where I can, and take that workload and supplement what they're doing in order for them to meet their sort of KPIs and timelines.
Take us through each part of your business. From the engineering phase, what can you deliver from a civil or structural or mechanical point of view?
Yeah, look, it just depends. It's quite broad. So, you know, it just depends on the scope of services clients want. So it could be, you know, delivering a pipeline. It could be delivering a pump station. It could be doing, you know, engineering, designing tanks. It mm-hmm. could be... It could be anything, right? You know, I make it clear, you know, I don't do the process side. It's more the sort of fixed plant, mechanical equipment, sort of buildings, non-process infrastructure, that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, I sort of stay away from the process side because that's a quite specialised discipline. So, yeah, but in the engineering space, you know, I look at, you know, if a client has needs to get a volume of water from A to B, come up with a solution for providing that.
You're pretty capable on the electrical side of things as well. I mean, there's high voltage reticulation design, which is, you know, not your average 24 volts. Like, let's be honest, it's not what goes to your PowerPoints at home. This is some big stuff. And then instrumentation is massive on mine sites.
Yeah.
And then the control systems that make it all happen too, so that you're quite broad on your electrical side too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, specifically designed to cater for a niche sector, right? It's not a engineering design service that's targeted at the mass. It's engineering design services that's quite specialised. We provide quite specialised service. So, you know, my principal electrical engineer is a very capable guy and a highly experienced guy, and you know, some of the stuff that he's worked on previously and the clients that he's worked with and the project that he's completed, quite extraordinary stuff. And that's the sort of, and again, I say this with quotation mark, the top end of the market that we're targeting.
Sure. Project management, I mean, that's as simple as you're just managing a project, but there's a lot more that goes into project management, isn't there, from scheduling to estimations and all sorts.
Yeah, look, I think, and that's the understanding that generally people have, right? But in project management, the biggest part is stakeholder management and engagement, right? I think, you know, from my perspective, is making sure, you know, making the project run on time and on schedule and cost is the basic part of the minimal part that you have to do as a project. It's managing the rest of it that, you know, that people don't quite understand. It's managing the changes. It's managing the commercials. It's managing the contracts, making sure your client, your stakeholders are engaged, are aware, your progress reporting, things like that, you know, most people don't sort of pay too much attention to. You know, my focus from the onset is always to make sure that whatever we're doing is always in accordance with what's expected mm-hmm. of us from a project deliverables, but also making sure that the client's always aware of what's happening. The client's always across any changes. There's no surprises. The client understands that if there's any changes or any variations or any problems, they've got someone to talk to.
Communication's the key, isn't it?
Absolutely, mate. And that's the biggest part of the project management. I think people tend not to remember.
Couple other things as we have a look at what's happening at the moment, mate, is the fact that you cover off several different bits and pieces as well. There is blue collar stuff that we haven't spoken about, and I know you don't go into it in too much detail, but there's other pieces to your business that we haven't even gone scratching the surface on today.
Yeah, look, and as a service, right, it's not just the EPCM part. There's a lot of elements that feed into an EPCM, you know, like fabrication. Fabrication is one that I gained a lot of knowledge on and did a lot of work with at Oz Group. We did some really large projects at Oz Group, and I've got a good network of people that can support in that facet. And I've tied myself up with a really good fabricator in Perth, who, you know, I've got a lot of confidence with, and I've worked with over the last 5 or 6 years, and he's a good mate of mine. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one element that I think, especially from an EPC, right? So engineering, procurement, you know, that fabrication is a key part of that, is designing something and then fabricating it, and that's what I offer as a service as well.
Talk us through, first of all, your locations, because you've set yourself up in a couple of real key mining areas in the state alongside the metro.
Yeah, look, I think, and being an old, and I say this again with quotation mark, being an ex-Kalgoorlie boy, I lived here for 6 years. I loved the place. You know, I came here when I was 21 and I left here when I was 27, 6, 7, something like that.
Still partied like you were 21. Oh,
yes. But, you know, I love the business community here. I love the community element of how you deal with people, and you know, it sometimes it's looked upon as a negative, but I look at it as a positive, right? Kalgoorlie Boulder and the Goldfields is such an exciting place to do business, and then especially in the current market, the opportunity for growth with all of the projects and all the activities that are happening in the region. That the aim of having an office and a business in Kalgoorlie was purely to leverage that, but also offer a service that's not available in Kalgoorlie. I couldn't find a similar sort of business that offered, you know, what I do as an entirety in the Goldfields, and hence why I set up here. And part of that is, you know, leveraging the networks that I have, the relationships that I have, the friends that I still have in the region. Kalgoorlie Boulder was an important part of the strategic view of the business. And then secondly, you know, Newman is another place that I have a satellite office. And again, Newman is purely from a hub perspective for the Pilbara, especially the iron ore industry. A similar sort of concept. I couldn't find a service provider in the region that offered the services in Newman. And so the point of difference for me was to be able to do that in those regional areas.
Newman as a bit of a base and a hub from that, like that hub and spoke sort of feel. Yep. That's the first time I've probably heard it quoted from someone there. You normally look at a Port Hedland or a Karratha where people want to fly into on a bigger base, but yep. But it's interesting to hear from your perspective on Newman.
Yeah, and again, I think you can choose, right? You can choose areas. You can choose Port Hedland as a hub. You can choose Karratha as a hub. Or you can choose Newman as a hub. But my business is more based around dealing with sites directly, right? You know, Port Hedland, there's enough industry in that area, and you're generally dealing with, you know, ports, and you're dealing with the big miners, but you're dealing with the ports. And then you have to travel a fair bit out of the region to have direct site involvement. And the reason why I chose Newman is, you know, you don't have to go too far out of Newman, and you can access so many different mines with BHP and Rio. And FMG as well. So, Roy Hill for the matter as well. So, you know, and that's partly why I decided that, you know, Newman was a strategically important area for me.
Well, so we'll end on a couple of different projects that you've been working on, some that you've completed already in your short time as yep. well as into business, but also a couple of that you've got on the go. I'll let you take the floor for this because obviously you've got a bit more of an understanding here without, I suppose, it being selective of names and clients and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I suppose the you know, again, touching on the philosophy of doing the study phases and the front end work of the business and offering that sort of that difference in an engineering firm as such and a project management firm. The one that I've finished and I suppose I'm still sort of working on is there's a project in Kambalda that I've been working for a nickel client and that's, you know, doing an expansion to a accommodation village and doing that project, you know, taking an existing village and converting that or expanding that and modernising it, and then all of the ancillary work that goes with it, i.e. dealing with the Shire, i.e. dealing with, you know, designers, architects, and also doing the sort of engaging with contractors to do refurb work on buildings and so on. So that's been quite challenging, but it's been rewarding because it's something that's sort of brought me up the curve quickly, and that's added, and that sort of added to the capability, and then that transitioned into another project which is similar, but this one's in Port Hedland again for an iron ore client, and you know, similar sort of thing, taking an existing village and expanding that, modernizing it, adding capabilities to the village that doesn't already exist.
You've spoken about villages in particular, but it could be any project, as you mentioned, pipelines or pumping stations or, you know, most of your fixed plant.
Yeah.
So, was obviously you've spoken there about a couple of projects that are village related.
Yep.
But your scope is much more. Would you say that you're a bit more of a shutdown partner for many of these companies as well when they're going through that process of putting something down putting the equipment down to be able to come in and rectify? Do you work a lot in the shutdown space?
Funny you say that. You know, I'm in the goldfields in Kalgoorlie at the moment purely because I came out to scope some work for a shutdown that's coming up, right? So, again, it's not to pigeonhole the business into specific areas, but also being cognizant of not spreading it too thin, too wide, right? The intention of the business is do bespoke projects. If there is something that the client is struggling for people or bigger companies especially to get them involved in, that's where I come into it. And not to say that I'll take anything on, but I'll generally give you an option or tell you, and that's one absolute promise that I living by the company values for me is absolutely important, right? Progressive, sincere, professional. Those are my values. And so, you know, if a client asks me to do something and I can't do it, I'll definitely say no, but what I will do is offer some options, and I'm happy to sort of bring other people in or other businesses in and networks that I can bring into the mold or introduce and help in any way, because I think, again, from my perspective, how I've got to where I am so far is through the support of other businesses, other people, and the assistance they've sort of given me on the way, and I'm happy to sort of pay that back and do similar things to, you know, support other businesses. So if I can't do it, I'll generally give you an option that who can.
What have you enjoyed most about starting your own business and getting into the field?
Oh God, I tell you what, the first 4 months of starting this business was pretty touch and go. You know, I questioned myself whether or not I made the right decision. And the funny thing is, right, when I left the business. Left Oz Group, the first sort of 2-3 months, I got all of these extraordinary offers, right? These jobs that I thought, wow, where was this offer 2 years ago, right? Where was this offer a year ago? But, and you know, the temptation of wanting to go back and the temptation of, not the temptation, the doubt that you have in your mind, right? That's the biggest hurdle. You got to get over that. And I'm happy that I sort of stuck by it. And I suppose the biggest thing I've learned over the last sort of 8 to 9 months is to keep going at it, keep trying, keep pushing, because, you know, you never know what's around the corner. I just not giving up. That's the philosophy, that's the mentality that I have. Fingers crossed, at the moment it's going well, but, you know, fingers crossed it works out.
Progressive, sincere, professional, Patama and Warren Poovanendran. He's the general manager joining us here on the Crib Room podcast. Good on you, Woz. Good to have a chat to you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Dude, we've come a long way, haven't we, in 20 years?
I know.
Did you ever think you'd be sitting here having a podcast about a mining industry with yours truly, or what?
Not from our radio days. I never thought I'd be where I am, where you are, talking to you about, you know, mining.
Did I surprise you?
Did I surprise you?
The Crib Room series of podcasts are produced by Industry Link Media. Subscribe to podcasts via your audio platform and via industrylinkmedia.com. This is a Crib Room podcast.